a Jewish festival took place, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. By the Sheep Gate in Jerusalem, there is a pool called Bethesda in Hebrew, which has five colonnades. Within these lay a multitude of the sick, blind, lame, and paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. Because an angel would go down into the pool from time to time and stir up the water. Then the first one who got in after the water was stirred up recovered from whatever ailment he had. One man was there who had been sick for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there, he knew that he had already been there a long time. He said to him, "Do you want to get well?" "Sir," the sick man answered, "I don't have a man to put me into the pool, when the water is stirred up. But while I'm coming, someone goes down ahead of me." "Get up," Jesus told him. "Pick up your bedroll and walk." Instantly, the man got well, picked up his bedroll, and started to walk. Pray with me. Our Lord and Savior, we just praise your holy name, and we thank you for your mercy and for your grace. And Lord, as we read this story again, we are reminded that you can do anything, that you are our Savior, and you are the healer. And Lord, we want to read in this story what you want us to see. And I pray tonight, Lord, that you would help me to tell your word in a way that we can understand. Speak through me, Lord, your truth, and help us to be reminded of what we need to see and know tonight. Glorify your name, Lord, in your story and in your word. Through Jesus I pray. Amen. Now, see, talking here, we're talking about a whole bunch of people who have a very faint hope. They're here lying by the pool of Bethesda. Now, the word Bethesda means house of mercy. And these people are by this place, the pool of water, that has been there for a long time. Now, it's near the Sheep Gate. And that's the reason why it's by this Sheep Gate. It's divided into two pools, if you will, by a wall. And the people would bring the sheep in through the gate, and the sheep would get bathed in one pool, and it was a public bath in the other pool. People would bathe in the other side of the pool. Sheep would get bathed in the other side of the pool. Doesn't sound like an arrangement that I would particularly like, but that's the way they did back in those days. And those two chambers were there, and they had been doing this for generations. But these people were there for a notorious healings. It's interesting that these healings could only happen occasionally, and maybe possibly. This particular pool was fed by an underground spring that would arise and bubble up sometimes, intermittently, and unpredictably. It may be a long time between the times that the spring would stir the waters up. And it was said that the first person to get into the pool after the stirring of the water would be healed. Now picture in your mind. You can hear from this way the story read that there were a lot of people who were infirm around this pool. And the first one to get into the pool would be the one who was healed. Can you picture in your mind? The first one to get into the pool was the one who was least needy of healing. They were the strongest of the bunch. That was the person who was the best, most healed, most hale and hearty. You know, the pool of Bethesda is an illusion. It convinces us that life is nothing more than our circumstances. It tricks us into living in as soon as life. As soon as the water is stirred, I can get healed. You know, we could begin to think as soon as I graduate, as soon as I get a better job, things will get better. As soon as I get married, or as soon as I get out of this relationship, as soon as I have more time, or more money, a better house, as soon as he or she apologizes, as soon as I get a vacation, as soon as I get over this grief, as soon as I lose weight or get in better shape. Circumstances are not irrelevant. I don't want to play that, but they do affect us. However, we're much more than our circumstances. But we get stuck in our circumstances sometimes. This pool of Bethesda was a pool of limited opportunity. And people thought that this is what they needed. But you know, the weakest were without hope. Always without hope. And it was a place where only they were left without need. They were frustrated. It was a place of futility for most people. What they had was a blinded understanding. A blinded understanding. What they really needed was somebody, a healing that was available at all times. And the healing showed up one day. But God was always available. God was always available. And Jesus showed up one day and asked an important question. Do you want to be healed? Do you want to be healed? Now, when he asked this question to the man who had been here for 38 years, now here's a man who had an obvious need. And can you imagine such a question? This man asked that question, might have responded, "Do I want to be healed? My backside is flat from sitting on these rocks all these years, and you ask, do you want to be healed?" But actually, think about it. A lot of people who have these situations in life that seem to be holding them back from ever moving forward, if you really ask them, do you want to change? Do you want to get better? When challenged, might not really, deep down, want to change. Here's a man who probably has been brought there from very young age. He's crippled. And that's all he's known. He's come to identify himself as a cripple. And if he gets well, he's going to have to get a job. He's going to have to go to work. He's going to have to support himself. And he's never done that. He doesn't know how. And a lot of people with disabling circumstances, with situations that have caused them to be dependent, if they get in a situation where they have to change, they don't know how. And they very well might not want to change. Why? This husband of mine has caused me to be in this situation, and do you want to get rid of him? No, I really don't. Why this weight of mine is, I've been so overweight for so long. You want to get rid of that weight and so you can move on and be healthier and better? When it comes down to it, I really don't. Situations in life, so many people who have become identified with whatever problem is holding them back, when you've given them an opportunity to change, they really don't want to change because that's all they've known for so long. They become dependent on what has held them back. Do you want to be healed? Has left us up to a situation when you offer them a chance to change, they make an excuse. And what did the man say to Jesus? Well, sir, when the water is stirred, I don't have anybody who will put me in the water first. Somebody always goes ahead of me. They make up an excuse. You know, if only I had somebody to put me in the water. If only. Sometimes in life we seem to be between a rock and a hard place. We can't get out of whatever is holding us down. If only I had enough money, I could move ahead in life. If only I had someone do something different, I could get ahead. I could get out of this place. I could do whatever I need to do. If only there was a miracle cure. If only. We get stuck in life. We play the if only game. This man played the if only game. If only. We often play the same game when we put our hope in things that give us false hope. We get stuck. One way to become unstuck is to turn away from the so-called easy fixes. You know, there's a pill for that. If you take the right pill, you'll get better. You can get, just take a pill. Fix it. You know, there's easy credit. Buy whatever you want. Pay for it on installments. Easy. Get it now. Pay for it later. Easy fixes. We always go for easy fixes. You know, what we need to do is quit focusing on things and focus on Jesus. That's where our hope is always lying. And we need to focus on Jesus for the help we need in life. This man had an obvious need. He'd been helpless, crippled for 38 years. And what Jesus needed to do was get his focus off of his need and put it on Jesus. He said, do you want to be healed? He had a physical need, but he also had a spiritual need, and there is a spiritual level. Do you want to be healed? Yeah, there's spiritual need. Do you want to be made well? You know, there was a pastor who was called by the police to visit with a man who was staying in a flea bag hotel and was threatening to commit suicide. Oh, he was drunk, of course. But he said he didn't have anything more to live for. He'd been injured on the job. He couldn't work anymore. He'd lost his wife. He'd lost his belongings. He'd lost his house. He'd lost his car. Lost nearly everything he had. And he spent all of his days in this run-down room that he was living in, watching television. He had nothing to live for. It was depressing. And the pastor said, well, why don't you move to Lincoln Towers? It's very affordable. You can be with people. There's always coffee on. And there's always a game of bingo or skip-bo all the time. You could get out of this depression. And the man replied, oh, I couldn't do that. This is where all my friends are. Do you want to be made well? If you do, you may have to step out of your comfort zone. You know, it's like Linus in his blanket. If you hold on to what you have, you may be closing the door to the opportunities God has for you. You may have to move ahead. We make excuses. And there is a need. We have a need to move out and move up. And the consequence is eternal. Jesus said to the man, do you want to be made well? And he said to him, stand up, pick up your mat, and walk. He turned his focus off of his need and onto Jesus. And once he looked at Jesus, he stood up. And he picked up his mat and walked away from his problem. Now, his need was real. But the cure was right there in front of him. Jesus can help you with your needs. But the big problem was, the big thing was, he needed to walk away from his problem. And he rolled up his mat and took it with him. Why did he have to take his mat with him? Because if he had left it there, he could always return right back to it. And that's a problem that we have sometimes. We like to walk back to our problem and stick ourselves back in it. You have to leave your problem behind. When Jesus says, move out and move up and move ahead, you've got to take your problem and give it to the Lord and take it with you. Don't go back to it. That's why he had to take his mat with him. You can't go back to the mat. He put his focus on Jesus and he could walk. He was healed through Jesus. We've got to give our focus to the Lord. No one to help you in this world? Jesus is here. Jesus is always here. He is always available. His power, his strength, his ability is always available to you. And this is why I'm wanting to change the focus a little bit. Physical healing is one thing. But I want to focus on the spiritual healing that Jesus offers. Jesus is always available for salvation. When you need to be healed spiritually, salvation is the start. And if you're not a Christian, Jesus is always available. If you call on his name, thou shalt be saved. But I wanted to take this a step further for Christians, because Christians can sometimes be crippled. Christians sometimes can get stagnated and bothered and not be moving and living and active as we should be. And that's why my third point is waiting for the stirring. We're still waiting for the stirring. Sometimes we aren't who we need to be. And I think there's an urgent need for the stirring in the Christian lives many times. Jesus told his disciples that were following him. I'm not talking just the apostles. I'm talking about all the disciples that he had called upon. And he told them in Luke 10, verse 2, and I remembered it. When I memorized it, it was in the King James Version, but in the Holman Version, he told them, "The harvest is abundant, but the workers are few. Therefore, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest." Now, I want you to notice something about that. We know what that is and what it says. But Jesus told us, he says, to look unto the fields in the King James Version. Don't even look. That's not in the English, in the version, in the statement, that's an imperative verb. That's not a suggestion. It's not a recommendation. That's a command. Look at the need. Pay attention. Notice what's around you. And you'll see a world that is lost, people who need to be saved. When you look, you'll notice. How many people look at the evening news and see situations that are so pathetic that you say, you may think in your mind, somebody needs to do something. But you do it. Somebody needs to do something. You may even say to your spouse or a family member, somebody ought to do something. Over and over, we see situations and we think, somebody needs to do something about that. That's awful. That's a problem. Well, somebody does need to do something about many situations. But what do we do? Do we ever do anything about it? Somebody is anybody but me. That's right, isn't it? Somebody is somebody else. That's not me. Somebody else ought to do it. But when we look at the fields that are white under harvest, Jesus is talking about lost people. And we look and we see lost people around us, oughtn't we say, somebody ought to do something? And then he said, pray. That's another imperative voice verb. That's a command. Pray to the Lord of the harvest that he send workers into his harvest. Now, when you pray, and I sure hope you do, pray to the Lord of the harvest that he sends workers into his harvest. You know what's going to happen? Your heart's going to get stirred, folks. I guarantee you. When you pray that the Lord sends workers to go out and to search and to seek and to speak to people that they might be saved, you're going to be stirred to be one of them. I guarantee you. You won't be able to help it. Pray to the Lord of the harvest. That's a command. And if you're not praying it, shame on you. As a command Jesus gave us. There's a lost world out there. But you know what I'm afraid we find? I'm afraid we have an apathetic following. I'm afraid there's a whole lot of Christians in Jesus Christ's church that haven't been praying that he sends workers into the harvest. Because we have a whole lot of church members who aren't witnessing for Jesus Christ, who aren't out there in the harvest, aren't doing the work. I know it's a fact. And that's our problem. We have an apathetic following because we have an awful lot of workers who are still looking for a miracle. We're waiting for the stirring. We're waiting for something to move us to do the work. We're waiting for the stirring. Some sensational event that will make me do it. That's not what I'm made for. Say what? Every one of us has been called to be a witness for Jesus Christ. Does God have to be a bulldozer to move you? Jesus says, "You are my witnesses." He wasn't just talking to the 12. He was talking to every one of his disciples. And we are his disciples if you are a born-again believer in Jesus Christ. When Jesus moves your heart, you'll know it. You'll feel it. And you'll follow him. And also, brothers and sisters, I hope you're not so cold you don't feel the movement of his Spirit tonight. Jesus told this cripple, "Arise and walk." Two commands. And I think he's saying to every church member in his church worldwide, arise. Take up your excuses and start walking for me throughout your lifetime. Be my witnesses. Start walking and take your excuses with you and be my witnesses wherever you go, day by day. It doesn't have to be grandiose examples of great works like Billy Graham or any other worker. It's your witness wherever you go. Work while it is day, because you are the salt of the earth. You and you and you and me are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its saltiness, it can't be made salty again. We need to be who we are for the kingdom of God and do the work of the kingdom of God while it is day. No more excuses. No more reasons why not. Just saying, "Yes, Lord, I'll be your worker. I'll be your witness." I hope the Lord has stirred your heart tonight. I hope you said, "Yes, I'll be better than I have been. I'll do the work that I haven't been doing. I'll be a better worker for Jesus." Have you the Lord stirred your heart tonight? If you want to do more than you have been, better than you have been, if you want to make a public show of it, if you want to kneel and pray and say, "Yes, I'll do better, Lord, I'll be glad to pray with you." And that's what an invitation is for. Bow with me and pray. And Brother Steve is going to come and sing an invitation. And I hope we'll have many people who will pray and say, "I'll do better than I've done ever before." And if you want to pray where you are, that's fine. But I hope that the Lord has used me to do his work tonight. Lord, we just praise your name. I thank you, Lord, for the word that you gave me. And I hope, Lord, it's been in your favor. But Lord, if there's people in here and out watching us at home that want to say, "Lord, I'm going to do better than I've been doing in the past," and they want to take a stand for Jesus, we pray, Lord, that you'll move their hearts to do so, and you'll have the glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.